Welcome to The Thal Project. I'm your host, Saya the Jaffer. The Thal Project is a mini-series that explores Thal, also known as lentils or legumes, and the rich and diverse ways that people of the South Asian diaspora cook it.
In this episode, I cook with Reena Khan, a trans woman and immigrant from Dhaka, Bangladesh, and now a settler in Treaty 6 territory, also known as Edmonton, Alberta. She's a PhD student researching methods of using AI and cancer care in a fair and ethical manner. Reena teaches me her grandmother's take on South Indian sambar while we talk about how food grows and changes with us.
My name is Reena, pronouns she, her. I'm a PhD student. I'm also a trans woman. I was born and raised in Dhaka, Bangladesh. Yeah, so this is a dal that my grandma used to make, and she didn't teach it to me. She taught it to my mom and my aunts, and then I learned it from my mom. This is known as sambar dal, which is really popular in South India, like Tamil Nadu, like a lot of those places. And the reason it came to this family in Bangladesh was that my grandmother used to be a poet and would just travel around quite a bit. And whenever she would go somewhere, she would try a food and she would be like, oh, this tastes good. I want to know how to make it. But in absence of the internet where you could just Google it or something, she would try to figure out how this dish was made, try to shop around for local ingredients, and then come back home and then try to recreate that dish. She tried to recreate sambar dal, and she made this version that I grew up eating. Much later in my life, I tried sambar dal at a South Indian restaurant, and then I realized that this tastes nothing like my grandmother's version of sambar dal, because like there's so much has changed, right, in just sourcing the ingredients that are available and like just how she liked to make it. Therefore, I just call this dish my grandma's sambar dal, that may or may not be sambar dal, but it's just delicious. It's like heartwarming. It's kind of what I grew up having. And right now, since my grandma passed away, my mom and my aunts, they all kind of stopped cooking this recipe. So it's like I'm the only one in the family who remembers how to make it.
Why did they stop cooking it?
Part of it is just it was a thing that we would usually make around like family holidays. And I think once my grandma passed, family holidays became a morbid affair for a bit. Mm. And also, I think part of it was just their grief. They didn't want to cook something that reminded them of her.
I can appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
We've so far put in a mini processor two medium onions,
mm-hmm.
and so I guess they're like medium to small dice, but you said that it could be a larger dice, that would be fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. I've made this with the onions sliced, with diced. It really doesn't matter because we're going to be cooking the onions down quite a bit anyway.
Gotcha.
So really how you cut it is just how you want the texture to be, and that is entirely personal preference.
Amazing. And I see right now that you are peeling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cloves of garlic.
Yeah, for context, this is a recipe meant to feed 7 to 10 people. So normally I'm upscaling it a bit. If you're making it for like 3 or 4 people, I think one onion and 2 or 3 cloves of garlic is enough.
Right.
We never write down recipes, ever. This is why my parents ended up forgetting these recipes, because they would just sort of like make it from memory, make it from feel. And once you stop doing that, it stops being like a muscle memory.
Kind of. And it also changes when you make it from feel, right?
Because exactly, yeah.
You feel differently time to time.
You learn of different ingredients from as you go on in your life. You can grow and change, and your food also grows with you.
I want to come back to that as an idea in a little bit, how food grows with us.
Yeah.
So we also have soaked a 1/3 cup of tur dal or pigeon pea dal. And you mentioned that you typically use chana dal,
mm-hmm.
but tur dal is fine. And you said that because
with the types of dal you use, again, it is mostly personal preference. My grandma's recipe used mainly red lentils or masoor dal. And I know like in South Indian recipes, it was, I think, tur dal or chana dal that was like the primary, right, the primary version. And really, it's all depends on what you have at hand, what you have available, what you want to use. And that's the beauty of dal. Like, it's really flexible. It's whatever you want to make of it. But today I'm using red lentils and tur dal.
Great. We've done 1/3 cup of tur dal and 2.5 cups of red lentils.
Correct.
So what next?
Just chopped up garlic. I'm just going to chop up ginger
for sure.
Real quick.
So have you always been interested in cooking?
No. I think it's because when I was younger, kind of growing up around social expectations of what boys and girls are supposed to be doing, I was like not kind of welcome in the kitchen. As I was like going into my teen years, I kind of like forced my way into the kitchen. I was like, I'm going to cook and I'm going to learn to cook and learn your recipes. And that's how I kind of approached it with my mom. And then my mom, it started helping me learn to cook and I would spend time in the kitchen with her. Funny thing is that this dal was one of the first things she taught me to make because I was going away from home for a bit and I want to learn how to make this if I ever go away so that I think of home.
Other people have mentioned that because dal is a simpler dish to make, yeah, it's often one of the easiest things to teach, right?
Yeah, the interesting thing is that like dal is so easy to learn, but it becomes more complex as the more experienced, you know, you get at making dal. And I think like the version I have now is from many years of experimenting myself. I know when I was cooking as a beginner, there's a lot I wasn't doing. And again, that point of like how food grows with us, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how much ginger you put in here and what you're doing to it?
Large thumb-sized amount? I don't know how else to describe it.
And how are you chopping it?
I'm just mincing it as fine as I can. It's also going to cook down. The ginger really adds a bit of like freshness and zing to this recipe, I think. After this, now that we have like mostly what everything prepped, I think we can start boiling the lentils. I'm just gonna fill the pot up with water enough to cover the lentils and leave quite a bit of headroom because the lentils are going to absorb a lot of the water and buff up. Now, exactly how much water is going to depend on you. In our case, we have about 3 cups of lentils total. A generous amount would be like 6 to 8 cups of water, I think would give you like a good consistency, but there's a lot of people who like the dal like a little bit on the thinner side, so you could do more or less. I think I wanted a bit more, 10 cups of water, maybe. There's a lot about cooking that, you know, it's just how you feel about it, I guess. Dal is this thing that, you know, every house sort of does differently. Every house has their little like tweak on it, and I know at least in Bengali households, like there's two main approaches I've seen. One is to like sort of make it like a curry where, you know, you're cooking onions, garlic, ginger, spices, and then the dal, and then you're adding liquid and sort of like cooking it like a curry or a stew. The way that my family does it is that to boil the lentils by themselves, make sure they're really thoroughly cooked through, and then cook the aromatics and the spices in an oil and then pour that mixture into the dal. Some people also use ghee here. The oil we're using today is mustard oil, but if you don't have this on hand, do not worry. Mustard oil has this real, I don't know what the sensation is, like, you know, when you take a bite of wasabi or something, like it's a very powerful taste, right? Mustard oil has a bit of that. So since we're using it and it's going to mix in with the dal, like it's not going to hit you really in the face or anything, but it is still going to be like noticeable. Like you're going to sense it in the back. But if you don't have mustard oil, just any regular oil, neutral oil is perfectly fine because the aromatics and the spices are going to flavor that oil up anyway.
Earlier you were talking about, you know, we grow and change and food grows with us. What did you mean by that?
I think this is similar to the fact of like we grow as people as well as like as cooks. We are always learning new techniques and we're experimenting, we're learning things from the places we visit, the people who are in our lives who also cook for us. So I think that's a very special relationship. Like anybody who cooks for me is like somebody I will think of as very dear to me. And that's the power of food really in both like connecting people and bringing people together.
Food as medicine?
Yeah, food as medicine as well. Food heals from both emotionally and physically. In exploring life, I think my cooking always changes based on who I'm cooking for as well, what they prefer, which is why I've realized that very rarely my cooking doesn't really evolve much when I'm mainly cooking for myself at a point in my life. But when I'm like cooking either for my family or for my roommates or like for my community, any kind of like collective cooking, like I'm always like adjusting based on like what I think somebody will like. And that impacts how you see and feel about your recipes as well. So I mean, that's at least my relationship to food is a mode of care. Do you have a similar?
That's insightful, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate the clarity in recognizing that it does change based on who we're cooking for or with, yeah. and all of that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I hope to explore in this series is challenging the notion of authenticity in food, because sometimes I find in diasporic or migrant communities, we want to clutch and hold on to something of the past,
yeah.
and we don't want it to change. But the truth is that our foods and recipes have been evolving for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And that's for all kinds of reasons, right?
That's really interesting. And I think there's a bit of diaspora in like clutching to what a memory of what was. But there's also like, I think parts of diaspora that are like very much about moving and integrating, but while holding on to their roots and what makes it your own. And I'm thinking like of, sorry, I don't have much experience about this. Diaspora families don't usually welcome me to their houses to eat. But I've gotten it a couple of times before I came out. I did remember, like, the families that I ate at, they would, in efforts to source ingredients locally, they would either make alterations or changes, like, something that was very readily available back home might not be as affordable here, so they would make small changes to it based on what is affordable. I think the flexibility to do that also kind of transforms recipes in a really wonderful way.
Definitely, and I was wondering if that's impacted some of your own cooking here.
What we're doing right now is just the water's come up to a boil. I'm just gonna dump the lentils in here. I'm gonna let it boil a bit first, and then I'm going to add a bunch of salt. There's no particular reason for the ordering. I just find that water boils smoother when you haven't yet put salt in, so I'm gonna let it cook for a bit first. As the dal is getting a little bit boiled, we are gonna add in turmeric and salt. And also, we're gonna add in sambar powder. So this is the, have a sniff of it.
Oh wow, that smells good.
Can you describe it to the...
Can I smell it again? Yeah. I feel like there's turmeric in that, but there's a lot of things going on in there. It's not as intense as a garam masala. It's like a softer undertone of mixed spices.
Yeah.
So I would guess that maybe there's coriander seed in that?
Yes, there's a lot of different seeds.
Yeah.
Roasted and ground together. Coriander seed, the mustard seeds. This is the star spice of the dish. And this is, sambar powder is so ubiquitous in South Indian food. You can make sambar curry out of anything, vegetables, chicken, whatever you like.
Right. So it's starting to get good on a boil.
So now I'm going to add in the turmeric.
Do you want a teaspoon measure?
Yes, I'm not going to be chaotic and just... normally, I will dump it in and like... I'm adding about 1.5 teaspoons of turmeric in there. Table salt, I'm going to add just about 2 teaspoons now. But really, you are going to need a lot more. And it's... you just have to like taste it.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, that's good to know, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is not enough salt for this dish. Trust me.
I grew up in a house where my dad had high blood pressure.
Oh, so that makes sense.
We didn't eat a lot of salt growing up.
For anything that has this much liquid in, you need a good amount of salt.
Right.
And you're not even going to taste it much
right.
in the dish, but you can always taste there being not enough salt. Yeah, I understand being in a family with hypertension as well, like... there's always this tension, but also I think food doesn't taste like food when you don't put salt in.
Yeah, I need some anyway. I need some, for sure.
Salt is in, and now I'm going to also put the sambar powder. For the sambar powder, also be a little generous. I'm going to use about 2 teaspoons here.
Right.
I prefer to be a bit generous with it because this is the star flavor in this dish, and you want it to really be noticeable. Now let this cook down. Let the dal get a little bit thicker. And in the meantime, I'm going to start up on our oil and spice mix. I have a frying pan on the side. I'm just going to heat up some mix of some vegetable oil and mustard oil. Again, as I mentioned before, use whatever you have.
So in terms of vegetable oil, I've got sunflower.
Yep, perfect.
Okay.
I'm using a mix here because using just mustard oil is, I find to be
too strong.
Very strong. So
it looks about
3 tablespoons of sunflower oil. Okay.
Yep. And I'm going to put about a tablespoon of mustard oil. Also, I think it's really important here to be generous with the oil, because the oil is going to absorb the flavor from the aromatics and spices, and that is going to flavor the dal.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, and then this has been heated up to like medium high temperature.
Yep.
Right.
I just wait till that gets a little hot. We're going to first toast our whole spices. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with that. And for what spices you want, it also is like what you have available, what you normally use in cooking your curries. Anything you can find is good. For me, I really like cumin seeds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put about a teaspoon of that. This is something I had around. It's black cumin seeds or kalud zira. I'm also going to put about a teaspoon of this.
Oh, those are called black cumin seeds?
Yeah.
Oh, I think people also call those nigella seeds, right?
I wasn't sure if nigella seeds were ever the same. I'm just used to calling them black cumin.
They look wonderful. I'm glad to know that I can use them in dal. And so we're going to let that fry a bit.
Yeah, just let this sizzle a bit. And I'm going to pour in our ginger and garlic. So into the oil, I'm tossing in some of our chopped garlic and ginger.
It smells so good already.
Right? Yeah. And into that, I'm also going to add in our minced onions. Also going to add a pinch of salt. This time, actually a pinch, not to scare you. So we're just going to cook this down quite a bit until the onions have turned translucent and mushy, and not until like they're caramelized, but quite a bit on the way there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 Thai green chilies,
yep.
Kind of cut in half.
Cut in half and just toss
them. So you could chop them smaller if you wanted to.
You could chop them smaller if you wanted to. I find that if you leave chilies whole, green chilies whole, it kind of like has a slightly different flavor. Oh, I forgot the tomatoes. Can I just
chop
them
up? Yes, of course. So we're going to use 2 medium tomatoes.
Thank you for keeping an eye on that. I'm just going to cut the tomatoes into small wedges. And I'm going to throw these wedges right in, straight into the dal.
Okay.
And it's going to soften up a little bit and give it a really nice flavor. And I would really recommend, like, you can throw in any vegetables you want. If you have green beans, spinach. Oh, we do have spinach on hand, yeah. Again, the beauty of dal, really. Like, you can use, pretty much experiment with whatever you want. I just recommend not using canned tomatoes, because I think canned tomatoes are just a little too sour for the dish that I'm going for.
Should I turn the heat down? Or is it okay?
Yeah, I think the heat should come out with it. For like a bit of acidity, tartness, I'm going to use tamarind. If you don't have tamarind, you can use lemon or lime juice, even vinegar, but I really recommend trying to get tamarind, even if it's just for this dish. The one I have, it's kind of like in a block and it says seedless,
yeah.
Which is really helpful. But you might find one that have the seeds in it. I think the easiest to use would be a tamarind paste in a tube. Because I'm using this thing that comes in a block, I'm going to have to like just soak this in water for a little bit, for like 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
And
so how big a chunk are we going to use?
Good question.
That looks like, to me, about 2 tablespoons?
Yeah, 2 tablespoons of concentrate.
Tamarind paste?
Yeah, yeah, concentrate and tamarind paste. Just gonna mix this in with a bit of water.
I can smell the zing of the mustard seed, of the mustard oil.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's got a really potent
zing to it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I'm turning the heat back up on the dal just because we're waiting for it to come to a boil.
So at this point, it looks like the red lentils have basically broken up
Yeah, the tour doll is still a little bit in shape. So you mentioned green beans and spinach as possible things to put in here. Mm-hmm. Is there other vegetables you would recommend using or avoiding?
I think I've done doll with cabbage, eggplants. I'm not really sure what I would avoid. I think something very delicate, maybe, that would kind of break apart. I'd probably not put broccoli in there just because it'll taste like mush and you're kind of missing the point of broccoli then. Yeah, just, but, you know, feel free to experiment, I think. Yeah, I could be wrong. You could put broccoli in dal and absolutely love it. Who am I to tell you how to live your life? Tamarind paste, I think, as I've soaked it. Because mine came in, like, in a hard block, I've just pressed it down to make it softer so that it dissolves a bit more easily. So it's kind of looking like a very loose paste right now. As long as it dissolves, there's solid bits in there, but that is okay.
How is this onion mixture looking?
It's looking good. I'm just going to leave it, let it go for maybe 2 to 3 more minutes. And then
should I turn the heat down a little bit further?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Just finishing, you know, like. It's really interesting. Like, if you just take a taste of the dal now, and then take a taste of it after we've added that in, it's like a night and day difference. Like, that the spices and the aromatics really, really kind of make all the flavors come together.
It smells amazing.
Yes, it does. I don't know if you've heard of this thing that anything that involves frying onions, garlic, and ginger in oil is going to make it smell amazing.
I was just going to say, garlic, and ginger. I would add green chilies to that too.
Yeah.
It's part of my favorite. I love it.
I've noticed whenever I have roommates around while I'm cooking, as soon as onions, garlic, ginger hit the pan, immediately someone's going to come up and be like, oh, something smells really good.
When I was a kid, there was always so much not wanting to smell like onions and garlic in school. And my mom had a really powerful exhaust fan so that it would try to keep the house from not smelling like that. But I don't care if I smell like onions. Fried onions are amazing.
Amazing, yeah. You know? Garlic smells amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, bring it.
Yeah. I've really never heard a faithful complaint about somebody smelling like garlic and onions. Like, whenever I hear that in any context, there's always a bit of racism behind it.
Totally. Oh, I remember a question I started asking you that we didn't fully finish, which was, since moving from Bangladesh, are there ingredients that are just too expensive or inaccessible here that have adjusted your cooking?
Yeah, mustard oil is one of them. It's like very readily available in Bangladesh, and we use it in everything. One of my favorite things to cook would be like mashed eggplants or some other veggies or potatoes with mustard oil. And I can't do that as much here. As in, it's, I can get it at a local Indian store, but it's like $10 a bottle.
Yeah.
I can't just finish a bottle in a week. Yeah, I use it just like more sparingly than I would back home. A lot of spices that are just not as available over here. Usually, like, I'll have like a small stash of it and use it. You know, like, nutmeg has there's a shell to nutmeg, and that shell can be used as a spice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, because it's not usually not sold as nutmeg. We used to call it Joyatri, and I'm not really sure what it's called here. But yeah, I rarely find it, and it doesn't go in as much as I'm cooking. That looks done, by the way.
Should I turn it off?
Yeah. So I was going to say, I think my mom would always have a stash of special spices that she would only bring out for like the biryanis and stuff. And comparing my mom's kitchen and mine, I think that is the biggest thing that is missing. And also like all the dairy is plant-based, because like I frequently feed lactose intolerant people. Yeah, then those are like the two main differences.
So
in
like
there.
Adapting.
Yeah.
Not using ghee.
Not using ghee as much, not using yogurt as much. It always works eventually. Like, I think your food can always be adapted. And that's the beautiful thing about it. See, it smells amazing, doesn't it?
Sure does. I can really smell that sambar powder.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Would you like to taste as well?
I'll taste it now too.
To me, I think it needs just a little bit of salt.
You're the chef, so let's do it. So what would be the range that you would recommend? Like 2 to what?
I probably wouldn't recommend migraine because I have a higher heat tolerance than I think.
Sure.
The average person. So I, for example, I put like 4 to 6 for like.
One cup of lentils.
Yes, one cup of lentils, and just because I like it a little bit spicier.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I've been just having chili powder so much of my life that the absence of it is like very noticeable. When I first made pasta for my parents, I followed this recipe for making marinara sauce. I did it with roasted local tomatoes, and it was really delicious. And then my father tries it, and he's like, I think this is amazing. It's just missing some chili powder.
That, my dad is like that too, and yeah. he would usually say he wants everything to have chili and lemon in it.
With dishes like dal that is cheap to make, simple to make, but you know, has so much like heart into it. My relationship with it has changed a lot. Like, whereas before I would approach it and say, this is an affordable thing to put on the plate for your family. I think with changes in my life and sort of like shifting from like family to found family as the primary source of support, I found like a dish like dal has come a great way in bringing a community together, bringing people I consider my chosen family together. And I think I see it as like a way of expressing love for people, but I'm also going to make dal from going to a community potluck, and I want to bring something that is going to feed a lot of people. As I said, like, we grow with food, our food grows with us. I think the relationship with food as a tool for building connections with people is something that I've been really treasuring, and it's coming really in handy. And I'm happy to do something that I like doing anyway, and putting smiles on people's faces and food in their belly. And I just see that as like something I can give, and I enjoy giving.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. And I feel the same way.
Yeah, I know. I think I've seen that in you as well.
Yeah, and I've always loved dal.
Yeah.
But I appreciated it so much more when I was vegan, because it was such a nutritious food. And it's also like a thing that everyone can eat, you know?
Yeah.
There's very few people who are allergic to lentils.
Yes.
Almost anyone can eat a pot of dal, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With rice. Thank you so much, Rina. This has been a delight.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for sharing space in your kitchen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dal Project. Follow me on Instagram at Dal Project. Email me at dalproject@protonmail.com. Dal is spelt DAAL. Intro and exit music are excerpts from the song Creep by Lal. Thanks for tuning in.